I'm Marianne Kolbaczek-McGee, Executive Editor at Information Security Media Group. Today I'm speaking with Peter McMurtry, a partner in consulting firm West Monroe's insurance practice. Before joining West Monroe, Peter spent many years in senior executive leadership roles in the insurance industry, including at Nationwide Insurance. We're going to be discussing the recent rash of cyber attacks hitting large U.S. insurance companies. So, Peter, as we know, several U.S. insurers, including Aflac, Erie Insurance, and Philadelphia Insurance Companies, have all been hit by cyber attacks in recent weeks. What's driving these attacks on insurers, and what's making U.S. insurance companies such an attractive target for cyber criminals?
Yeah, I think the first question of what's driving it. I think one of the things that we have seen and heard is that it's believed that Scattered Spider, a malicious firm, has been targeting the insurance industry. We know that they tend to target different industry segments. Recently, they were targeting the retail sector. And it does appear that they have set their eyes on the insurance sector, and that's why we believe we're seeing this string of incidents occurring. I think the bigger part of your question of why the insurance industry, I think it's a simple fact that insurance carriers have literally millions of files of records of individuals, of businesses that they insure. And it's not just the current customers that they insure, but it's typically many years of prior customers' information that they have. And even claimants, third-party individuals that they have liabilities towards, that they have those records. The brokers that they do business with, the businesses they insure, and even some third-party businesses that they partner with. So again, just a very deep set of data that's accessible if the appropriate securities aren't in place.
Peter, with that said, in these incidents involving Aflac, Erie, and Philadelphia insurance companies, each of the companies said that their IT systems were not encrypted with ransomware malware. But nonetheless, the companies took down their IT systems. They took them offline and experienced some IT outages as they responded to their respective incidents. So, regardless of whether a company's IT systems are taken offline voluntarily during incident response, or if they're knocked offline by the attackers, what should go into the planning for a major insurance company to respond effectively to a cyber incident and potential disruptions like we've seen here? What are you seeing in these recent attacks that kind of stand out as good or poor response? Any lessons here, good or bad so far?
Yeah, great question. And I think the thing I would call out though at the beginning is, in these instances, you're right. It's there. All the carriers have indicated that they were not locked out of their systems. These don't appear to be ransomware incidents. I'd first caution that I wouldn't interpret that to mean that there is a lessening of a focus there, as much as I think it is just an example of where we see these individuals continuing to become, adapt and adjust their strategies. And this idea of data exfiltration as a new tactic or a different tactic and strategy is just something to be mindful of. So, I first always think about it as they're creating more ways to challenge organizations as opposed to truly shifting away from one. As it relates to the what is being done, I think the first thing, and really it is all about what happens in advance. And I think this is all about planning and the discipline around planning. And so if I first think about it as the what happens after the event, and this is your business continuity planning. And while we're talking about it as it relates to cyber events, insurance companies, just as many companies, have business continuity plans that are in place. Also, oftentimes they're focused around incidents that may have occurred because of a large weather event, a large building fire, something that has caused them to be locked out of their facilities, maybe locked out of their systems. The companies that have the strongest discipline around those that business continuity planning are the ones that are going to be the most successful in terms of responding to an event like this. And I think it's really thinking about it in terms of, what happens in the first hours, days, weeks, and sometimes even months if you're locked out of your systems. And have you gone through the disciplined planning of understanding how you would manage your business during those different time frames? What would, at what point are certain capabilities needed where you have to have some form of redundancy, either redundancy of platforms or just simply a more analog, if you will, way of doing business if you're not able to leverage your systems? And so I think the disciplined processes around business continuity planning and the detailed practicing of those plans, organizations that have done that very well, you're going to see sort of, again, a more stable recovery. Others, though, are going to be or tend to be exposed in this instance if they haven't really put the discipline and the detail behind those plans.
So, Peter, as you mentioned, the cybercrime group Scattered Spider is believed to be behind the attack on Aflac and potentially those other insurers. Scattered Spider has also been behind a number of attacks on large retailers. Anything about Scattered Spider that stands out in terms of steps that insurers and other companies might take to avoid falling victim to this particular gang?
Yeah, I think one of the things with Scattered Spider that we've seen is that their one of their MOs is to secure actual identity of employees of a company as a means of access. And in doing so, it makes it harder to detect that penetration that has occurred, and defend against that. And it can be that they're choosing to acquire that information, but then not necessarily take advantage of it right away, but rather maintain that. And so I think that added risk of having an incident occurred, but you're not able to detect it because there's not active malicious activity going on. But it is sort of sitting and perhaps leveraging that information to do something later. That does make this a little bit unnerving. We've talked about three or four carrier incidents that we've heard of recently, but that's probably the thing that worries me is that are there more that have occurred, but we just haven't learned about it yet because they have not chosen to begin malicious activity, pursuing, extracting data, though, that sort of thing.
So, Peter, based on these latest cyber trends, particularly in the insurance sector, any other steps that you recommend insurance companies take now to avoid becoming the next victim?
Yeah, I think, and this, as I said, it starts with the, there's your business continuity planning, and then there's, which is your what happens if it happens. But it's also the defending the network. And I think about this in a couple of components. One is really knowing your assets and thinking about this in terms of all of your technology assets within the organization, both front office and back office. And oftentimes we talk about sort of your defense is only as good as the weakest link. And so that importance of no matter how innocuous, do you truly have that full view inventory of your systems, where your data resides, where you have third-party connections, and do you have the appropriate controls around that? The second piece, I think, is really prioritizing data governance and access to that data. And so, really, classifying your data, enforcing encryption, deploying data loss prevention tools as a component of that, understanding, and limiting access to different systems within your employee database or your employee set, so that if there is an individual's identity that's leveraged, you're controlling how far they can get within the system. The other part is, I think, the expanded monitoring. And so you're doing the anomaly detection on a very active basis. So that continuous threat hunting. So you're noticing early on if an ID is being used in a way that's not consistent with how you would expect that individual to be operating within the system. So you're detecting that threat very, very quickly. And then that ongoing testing. And I think when you have events like this, it both creates an opportunity to use it as a scenario and say, how would we manage this if it happened to us? But also highlighting this to your employee set as that reminder of why those phishing exercises are constantly popping up in people's emails and why it's so important to be diligent against that, because it's not the potential that something might happen, but it's the reality that it is happening very actively in our industry. And so I think it's that collective of steps that are really, really important. And then finally, as we talked about, continuing to review and adapt, that these threat actors are going to continue to evolve their approach, and organizations need to continue to evolve their defenses to react to these new learnings.
And finally, Peter, what else are you keeping an eye on these days as it pertains to cybersecurity in the insurance sector?
So in the insurance sector, we continue to leverage third-party relationships, whether it's for third-party data providers or third-party partners, to support different parts of the insurance process. So that's part one, really, is that diligence around it's not just how you're securing your organization and your environment, but it's really doing the diligence to understand how those third-party relationships are managing their environments as well. So that's part one. I think the other part is we think about the malicious component of this. But I think CrowdStrike was a great example of, there's both malicious and non-malicious threat, and we have to be securing and preparing for either. And so business continuity is a response to that. But those front-end defenses and controls are the other piece of it that are really important. And then lastly is the increasing utilization of AI, and probably more importantly, agentic AI, AI agents, that creates another potential risk. And that's whether it's AI solutions that you are creating with of your own within your organization, or AI solutions that others that you're partnering with are using, just creates another risk lens that can potentially be, not malicious, but just a faulty design of how an AI solution was intended to operate versus what it was trained on and how it ends up operating, just creates another risk lens that we've got to be monitoring.
Well, thank you so much, Peter. I've been speaking to Peter McMurtry. I'm Mary Ann Kolbasak-McGee of Information Security Media Group. Thanks for joining us.